Today's daf is daf Mem Zayin, and we're up to the bottom of Mem Vav Amid Beit, very last line. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing the nature of chalipin on matbeot, on peirot, the difference between how you stipulate a interchange is supposed to take place, and areas which we've discovered in which what ought to be a typical sale ends up behaving like a chalipin for completely different reasons. A remarkable coincidence, which is one way of understanding our Mishnah, and that the ketzad means to imply, let me give you an example of something which is similar to chalipin, which you wouldn't be able to know the difference, but is actually a totally different thing. It just looks like chalipin. So there were various ways of learning the Mishnah, depending if you hold like Reb Nachman, that peiros are not good for chalipin, or if you hold like Reb Sheshes, that peiros are good for chalipin. And we're going to get into more very interesting transactions that can look like chalipin, smell like chalipin, but I'm not going to gamble with chalipin as well. And then we're going to get into the basis of chalipin and see where all of this comes from. So Amar Rab, Amar Vuna, Mechor li be'elu. It's an interesting case. A guy takes a handful of money, shows it to a seller, and says, okay, I want that for this. The guy accepts it. He doesn't even count the money. Kana, it's a good kinyan, meaning that at that point, by giving over the money, you would go to the chayfetz, which makes no sense, because money is not going to chayfetz, right? So obviously something else is going on. Again, we have a chalipin-like kinyan in which things are switched. The money is switched for the poor or whatever it is you were buying. And yeshu alav ona'a. But if it turns out that there is not enough money there, and there's a difference of 1/6, and we'll discuss later, so then he can claim that it was a mekach ta'ut, he gets his money back, and so on, depending on that's a whole different parak and a different can of worms that we're going to look into later. Okay, so we said, kana, I forgot the lomashah. How is that? How could you be kona if you're using money, and it's supposedly you can't do it with chalipin? Tell you why. Because this is an ersetz chalipin. Because kiva de lo kapit, look, the guy didn't look at the money. So he wasn't looking at coins, right? He was saying, okay, whatever. So let me make that exchange with you. Therefore, since it's considered to be similar to chalipin, and we're going to ask, what do you mean similar to chalipin? But we asked whether you could say, take a matbeya and wipe the matbeya from your mind and deal with it as a metal. And we said, no. So how now all of a sudden you're telling me it's good for chalipin? We'll see. We'll get back to that. But it's like chalipin, and nonetheless, he still has ona'ah. How could you have ona'ah? The whole point of a barter is that the barter is for whatever is whatever. The whole point of ona'ah is when something is defined in terms of its specific value. How could it be ona'ah? It doesn't make sense. Well, he said mechorli. He didn't say exchange. He said, took a handful of coins and said, sell that to me for this. So if you're talking about sales, so then there's ona'ah and sales. Now, this is very strange. I mean, is it a sale or is it a chalip? All right, so now we got to look into this. Rab Abba Amar Rav Huna says, I don't agree with that at all. I say if you say mechorli be'elu, the guy doesn't look into the value. Kana I agree with, but I do not agree with that you could come back and say, I was cheated. And inlo alav onam, that's what he accepted on himself. Okay, so now let's try to figure out what's going on over here. Pshita damin ve'ein makbid aleihem. So now, when you're talking about giving over money, and the guy doesn't care what it's worth, or if you give him over a kli, and he doesn't look at it, right? He has no idea what it's worth. He's not makbid. He doesn't want to look at them, have an assessor examine them, see if it's worth it. So then, even if it is b'torat damim, the guy is saying, okay, I want to sell this TV set. The TV set costs $100. Guy presents him with something, either money in his hand. Or, the guy doesn't look at it. He says, okay, fine, I'll take that. So we just said that that's kona because it's like chalipin, right? The chalipin damim. Fine. I want to know the opposite. How about the opposite? You're telling me that we're going to get into the mechanism, by the way, okay? So let's right now pretend it's regular chalipin. So what you've said is that even where money is stipulated, and then it turns out that the sale goes through without any concern for the money, so we can disregard the discussion of the money. Let's view it as an exchange. Okay, let me ask you something. Could I do that in the other direction? Let's say two people are bartering something, but each one is careful to delineate its precise value with an assessor. Does that become a sale and not a chalipin? The same way that a sale becomes a chalipin when I don't care about money? I mean, is like the whole idea of chalipin versus sales an abstraction? And it just has to do with the way you look at it? Is that the point? So you're telling me the same way that something which is a sale could be chalipin, something that sure looks like a chalipin can actually be a sale. And what would define it is the way in which I am makbid. Would you go that far? Om Ravada Barava, let's see. I'll bring you Ryan, okay? Tashma. Haresh Ayato face Paratova Ome. Guy standing in the middle of the street looking lost, holding a cow. So his friend comes over and says, what are you doing in the middle of the street holding your cow? Paratcha Lama. The guy says, I'm going nuts. I desperately need a donkey. So I don't know why I'm going to get a donkey with my cow. I mean, it's going to be hell. I got to sell the cow, buy a donkey. I'm going crazy. So the guy says, look, I just happen to have a donkey and I need a cow. So yesh li chamor shanino ten lacha. But, I mean, I don't know anything about it. Paratcha bekama. How much does your cow cost? So the guy says, $132. And how much does your chamor cost? Hamor par bekama. So he says, $132, or whatever it is, and I'll give you change. Okay, this is the case that we're talking about. Somebody's doing a chalipin, but they've translated everything into values instead of chalipin. So what's the din? If the Baal HaChamor takes the Pora, but the Baal HaPora did not have a chance to take the Chamor, now here's the Kool-Aid acid test. Is this a chalipin, or is it a sale? Because that's where the difference is going to occur. Whether it becomes closed on both ends the moment that one takes one of the items being exchanged, right? And what happens? The Baal HaPora did not get a chance to take the Chamor, and the Chamor drops dead. So then in that case, Lo Kana Baal HaChamor Et HaPora. In that case, the whole thing wasn't good, because all that happened is that he was giving him a promise of money. That's what it boils down to. So you see that if it's Chalipin, but you're translating it to value, the fact that he took the Para does not give you the Chamor. It's obviously not Chalipin. So you see from there, Shmamina, the Chalipin umakpira layam lokana. That's obviously then that if you gave it to him as a din to be Kena and he wants to see what it's worth, that's not Chalipin. You need to wait until the second guy is Moshech, because each one is now the money for the other one, even though it's an object, but we're not looking at it as an object. So that means that each one who takes his commodity owns his commodity. But since that commodity was the other guy's money for the other thing, so money is in Cana. So in this case, it wasn't Cana because it was money. Okay, so there's your answer. So apparently it's a pure abstraction. Oh, my Rabbah, excuse me. Do you think people that barter are basically retarded by definition? Is that what you think? I don't understand what you think bartering is about. Gee, look at that, a pretty trinket. How would you like Manhattan? I mean, people are not insane. So you think that Chalipin was given to the either criminally or just plain insane? That's what you think, the Lokapti. So in other words, you're trying to tell me that Chalipin is a function of people who have no interest in value. I think that's insane. Kol Chalipin Mikpat Kapti. Every Chalipin, by definition, is normal human beings who want to make sure that they're exchanging value for value, not pretty trinkets, okay? And therefore, obviously, nonetheless, it works, and it's kana as chalipin, because that's how it's defined. You didn't define it any other way. So, you want to know what the story was over there with the guy with his bar in the middle of the street, why he wasn't kana? You're missing a piece of information. I mean, clearly what happened over there is, that's the point of a bright that it says, and how much is your chamor worth? So it's not telling us what the exchange consisted of, right? So it's leaving that to your imagination, because people like you are going to make the mistake of thinking, aha, since you spoke about value, it can't be chalipin. And that's exactly what it's not saying. What it's saying is that there was an agreement, but obviously, what are the chances that the chamor was worth $132.50? What do you think? Exactly what the paro was there. No, that's not what happened, my friend. That's not what happened. What happened is that it was an uneven value. So that means that somebody had to add something, right? So this Mr. Para is very anxious for a chamor. So he says, look, you know, my chamor is more valuable than your para. But I'll tell you what, if you throw in a little sheep on the side, I mean, once we're talking about chalipin over here, you know, let's make it, a para plus a shaver, whatever. So that's what it's talking about. Says, okay, I'll give you the chamor in exchange for a para and a tleh. That seems to me to be more equitable. The guy now takes the para, but has not yet taken the tleh. That's the issue. So then we're saying, okay, but now here's what you could think. You could say, I did a mashicha as an act of chalipin. Now normally, I mean, there's one type of chalipin in which I'll do the chalipin entirely in a formalistic fashion by taking a handkerchief. So, I mean, you would say, certainly, if I take the whole para, I mean, it's at least as good as a handkerchief, right? But since over here the idea is that I'm attempting to evaluate and I ask for something in addition. So now what that means is that I'm going through the Torah at Chalipin, not as a formalization, but as an actual exchange. If you want to do it as an actual exchange, then you need to pick up the thing that you're exchanging. In this case, neither person has picked up the thing that they're exchanging. Because even the guy that picked up the para, that's not what he was exchanging it for. He was exchanging it for a para and a tleh. So he basically has not completed the mashicha. That's the problem over here. So what you're left with is an incomplete chalipin and a sale that could only be viewed as having paid. I started paying, so Moses and Kona. And therefore it's all Kona. That's obviously what it's talking about. But I mean, for somebody to come and jump to conclusions from here, that the moment that you start talking about values and assessments, you're not dealing with Chalipin, as far as I'm concerned, is off the wall. Okay, Omar Mars, you say, M'chor li be'elu kana, v'yesho alav ona'a. Now, this is a little bit weird to me, because the man is holding a handful of coins. Even if the person doesn't look at the coins, we talked about that openly before, and we said, coins can't be Chalipin. They can't be. So how did it change just because it was a handful of coins? Are you trying to say that Ravuna holds, as opposed to everybody, remember we had a whole list of Amoraim that said, Matbea Inanasa Chalipin. We discussed it at great length, and everybody agreed, Matbea Inanasa. You're telling me now? It's amazing. Ravuna holds Matbea is Nasa Chalipin. No, I'm not telling you that at all. What I'm telling you is that there are other Kinyonim that are actually able to mimic Chalipin, despite the fact that they are not Chalipin at all. It's like a Mac pretending to be a Windows machine by simulation. This is a simulation of Chalipin, and I'll explain to you how it became a simulation. It's very simple. Same logic we used before. We spoke about a case before where even though something can't be made Chalipin, but in cases where it's a rare event, then we're not gozer because of the chashash of chitecha nivsiru ba'aliyah. Remember? Same logic over here. Ravuna holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, midyoraita, the moment you pay for something, it's yours. Ma'ot konot. There's a big machlokes we're going to be getting to between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokes. So ma'ot konot, you paid. So why is it then that our whole Mishnah says you can't buy any commodity with money? I'll tell you why. It's a gzeirat rabbana. So mipnei ma'amru mishicha kona. Only a gzeira, shema yomar los nisrafu chitecha ba'aliyah. We want to make sure that a seller remains responsible for delivery. And as long as it's in his warehouse, he's got to take responsibility. We can't have hefkerut where somebody says, well, yeah, you bought it, you took the losses. I mean, that opens up the door for all types of horrific kinds of cheating. So we're not going to do that. Now, the rule is that when we make a gzeira, we make a gzeira for norms. Milta de shchicha. When was the last time somebody came over to you with a handful of coins and said, how about this for your TV set? You didn't even bother to look if he was holding dimes, pennies, or silver dollars. I mean, you understand that the chances of such an event happening are exceedingly rare. Why would the Rabbanan make a gezera to cover a weird case like that? So, milta de lo shchicha, lo gozru ba Rabbanan. They left it on the Dioraita. And in terms of the Dioraita, it's a perfectly valid exchange, not because it's Chalipin, but because it mimics Chalipin. Because the moment that you took the money, the other guy was kind of Midioraita, and the Rabbana left it on the Midioraita, because you can buy a TV set with cash, Midioraita. And this case was not changed by the Rabbana, that's all. It's the same way we said before, we can mimic Chalipin. We can mimic Chalipin in this way too. You know, you guys sure had to go through an awful lot of discussion to come to a conclusion that we knew in advance. I mean, Aton Achimat Nitula. All you were given, the only information that you were given, was this statement of Ravuna that he doesn't know as much. You don't know what he holds. And as when we were told over this whole thing about Ravuna, okay, we had Ravuna in the list of all of the Rabbanan earlier, saying beferish, that Matbea is not Nasa Chalipin. So, non hachimat dinan la. V'chein Amar Ravuna, remember back there, Ula, the whole list? V'chein Amar Ravuna, Matbea Nasa Chalipin. So we never had any doubts. There was no choice other than to learn this as a simulation of Chalipin, but not true Chalipin. Okay, you know, we've been talking about this Chalipin an awfully long time. I didn't know what it is. So in usual backwards fashion, can you tell me how do you do it? Bamekonim. I mean, I know it has something to do with a handkerchief or a shoe, and I don't know who gives what to whom and how exactly it works. So do I take your handkerchief or do you take my handkerchief? We take somebody else's handkerchief. We see this happening at weddings all the time. Everybody's flipping around handkerchiefs because nobody knows what you're doing. Okay, so what do we do? So Bamekonim. So Rav Amar, the Kelav shall kone. Actually, you use the buyer's kelim, and the buyer is willing to formalize a kinyan and give somebody something in order for the kinyan to be formalized. So he's ready to spend money on formalizing a kinyan. So he is nechale, the labi makne kone, the seller. He says, okay, you know what, you can take. Now we're talking about now over your chalipin in terms of a formalization, right? Not in terms of an actual exchange like we just discussed, the Pora and the Tele. So I am necha for you to take my thing in order for that to be a Gemar Kinyan. And that's fine with me. Now, the reason that we ask this way, B'makonim, is because the only basis, remember, all the way back, first line of Shas, was Tana Eicha Koi Diktani Me'imata. That's how Talmud Bavli begins. And it taught us right off the bat that when we refer to things, we refer to things directly as we were prejudiced by a pasuk. We start with a pasuk. The pasuk said something. So we ask, Me'imatai Korim Shema. In other words, you already know Korim Shema? Yeah, I read the pasuk. So we read a pasuk. We read a pasuk that, L'kayem kol davar shalaf ish na'alo. Now, so we understand that that means there is a way to formalize commitments. That's what happened over there. So Boaz wanted to buy the rights to the sudah of Naomi and Ruth from Mr. Tov, Shploni Almoni, who was going to exercise his rights as a goel. And so the guy says, okay, look, I am formally relinquishing all claims. I can't afford to go through with this and have all these women around my neck. You take care of it. Shalaf ish nalo, l'kayem kol davar. So clearly there is a formalization technique. It's very vague in the pasuk about who did what. All it says is, Zor b'fanim b'Yisrael, a man does to another. Who? The mocher ter koneh, the koneh ter mocher. So that we're going to see is basically why we're having all of these questions. But it's also why we initiate discussions of chalipin in terms of the formalization act of chalipin, because that's what we met in the pasuk. Okay? So the koneh is happy. He says, look, I want to own your TV set. We'll pay you some other time. Take my handkerchief as a sign of making this a formal exchange. Levi says, no, it doesn't work that way. It works by the seller who says, look, I want to sell you the handkerchief, sell you the TV set. You'll only get it next week. It's coming in from the warehouse. But I want to conclude the sale now. So take my handkerchief and you keep my handkerchief. And why would that be a gemirat dat? Because, as we're going to see later on, there is an explanation. I don't want to get into it right now, but I'm going to tell you in a few minutes. So let me ask you something. Is Levi saying that the kelim of the makna, the reason we don't explain it to you is because we first want to see the mistake that was made in what Levi meant when he said you can use the seller's handkerchief? Because what he thought was, what does this sound like to you? It sounds like agav. In other words, you give me a handkerchief, I'm going to be coming to the handkerchief, and I got the handkerchief, I'll be coming to the TV set. Which is the same story we had before of Rapapa, who was going to be transferring the cash, I got a sifra de beit, right? Because you can be kona with real estate, we know you can be kona metaltalim. So it sounds like this is a type of agav. You take one metaltalim, and now you'll get another metaltalim. Now, applying it, the problem is, applying this to the issues that were going on in Megillat Rut, I mean, there you're talking about purchasing fields. So now you're telling me, so in a case where a guy wants to purchase a field and close the deal with his handkerchief, so then we got a serious mistake. Because, says Rav Huna, Levi, the Omak, the Caleb shall makne. So in other words, what ends up happening is that you're being kona a field through being kona metatali. You're going to take now a handkerchief and you're going to use it to be kona a field. You know that that's a direct violation of one of the most fundamental principles, which is that nechasim sheh. Not vice versa. What you're saying is that we're going to have nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayut, which is real estate, and you're going to be code of the real estate, agav, the nechasim niknim together with im nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayut. Now you know that that doesn't make any sense. It's a beferish of Mishnah, v'anan ipchatna, that only nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayut, chattel, can be nikne with real estate, not vice versa. I don't get what Levi's talking about, said Rava to Ravuna Bidiskarta. You're awfully lucky that Levi isn't around here, I'm telling you right now. Because if Levi would be here and would have heard that, he would have taken a lightsaber and cut you into 13 pieces. So Ihavi Levi Acha, Havi Mapik Lapik Pulsidanura, he would have walked out with a lightsaber, that would be the end of you. What are you talking about? I mean, how could you think something just stupid? Misavarta Glima Maknale. Is that what you think? That this is we're talking about chalipin, formalizations, and you come up with an explanation. It seems to you that it's something like agav. So boy, Levi's running into real trouble. I mean, this is so insulting to ask a question like that. Now, you want to understand the way the mechanism works. Let me explain something to you. It's be'ahiyana adhika m'kabubine gomra va'akdine. The point is this. Every act of buying and selling is, to some extent, an opening yourself up to another person. There's always a reluctance. You walk into a store, there's a reluctance that's involved. That is the same reluctance that you have to penetration from somebody else. I don't want your thing, okay? I don't want to get involved now in all, it may be financial intercourse, but it's got a lot of other issues associated with it. If I want you to take something from me, I'm very reluctant to take something from you. And even when it comes to straight up buying from you, I first need to establish a need, and now we're getting into a financial intercourse. But financial intercourse is as difficult as regular intercourse. To an extent, there's an element of penetration. Your stuff, my stuff, I'm going to give you something of mine. It's like a beautiful mind. Let's have an exchange of body fluids. It doesn't work that way. So what happens over here is that the very fact that this guy is willing to take my handkerchief is to me an indication that I'm being taken seriously. He's opening himself up to the sale. And in opening himself up to me, I'm makvetet. As long as we're just, everything is just talk, you know? It's all very nice. But and that's why we use these kind of metaphors. We talk about getting into a deal, getting to bed together. Because that's the idea. I need to accept the fact that my issues and my needs are going to be part of your life, right? So, and by the way, these are the exact words that are used in Kiddusha. That a woman can be mekudeshet by giving something to somebody else, to the man, because with the hana of the fact that he was willing to take her handkerchief, so she's mocking herself to him. Which sounds like the inverse of Kiddusha. But it isn't really. It's the buyer who's giving me something when he accepts my handkerchief. That's the point. Exactly the same things that we had in Kiddusha. The ayyana'a, word for word, right? Okay, so, if that, again, I've pointed out many times, the word for ba'alut is itself a term that relates to intercourse. So this is ba'alut between people. I'm happy that you accept, that's what he's saying, lady. He's not talking about a kinyan of agav. He views this as the acceptance from the buyer to the seller, even though the seller is providing the handkerchief. That's the point. Okay, so now, actually, this machloket between Rav and Levi is really a machloket tanaim, ketanaim. Analyzing the pasuk, v'zot lefanim b'Yisrael al ha'geula v'al ha'timura v'kayim kol davar shalav ish na'alo v'natan l're'eyu v'zot ha'tu'uda b'Yisrael. All right, so now, what does that pasuk mean? What are the two words? Al ha'geula v'al ha'timura. Gula is a word that's used for sales. V'cheinu omer, we find that the pasuk uses the word lo yigael. Lo yigael in meaning lo yimacher. Okay, as Tosis points out, the idea of lo yigael over here says Rabbi Tam can only be from the pasuk of Meiser Behema, where it says lo yigael. It doesn't say lo yigael v'lo yimacher, because if anything, that would prove that lo yigael is not lo yimacher. All right? Now, tmura is a form of chalipin. Because we find, v'cheinu omer, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamirot. It's obviously in the family of exchange. Now, that means that this pasuk is talking about two issues. It's talking about an issue of formalizing a sale, which is mechira. Not, it's called kinyan suder. It's not the chalipin of two items, one for another. Tmura is real exchange, just like it is in the Torah. Tmura, that's what we call Khalifa. Guy takes a carbon of Hagdish, brings another behema, which is Chulin, and he says, okay, I want to exchange this for this, right? Now, you can do that same thing as a sale, and then it's mutter, 100%. But if you do it as Khalipin, you're over an Issa D'Oraita. And then you lose both animals, because they both become Hagdish, you got it? So, obviously, it's two completely different types of things. The Torah already, with those words, lets you know there is a major difference between buying and selling and exchanging. Try to exchange Hagdish, you're in trouble. Buying and selling Hagdish, on the other hand, is called pidyon. So that's fine. And then it says, L'kayim kol davar, to make it happen, shalaf ish na'alo v'natan l're'eyu. Who was the guy that gave it to the other guy? Okay? So the Tanakhama says, Boaz gave his shoe to the goel. Because he was trying to buy the rights to the sudah, the options, Richie, the options that the Goel was holding on the Sada, right? So he wants to formalize that the Goel is now relinquishing all claims to this property and giving it over to Boaz. So Boaz was getting something, so he gave him his shoe, which is exactly what we said over here, according to Rab. Bekelav shel koneh. Boaz is the koneh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Actually, the goal was Natan leBoaz. And that is exactly the sheet of Levi. So it turns out that this is really an old machloket based directly on the pasuk. Now, Omer of Nachman, I'm sorry, Tana, konim bekli, let's understand this. This is not an act of buying and selling in a formalized fashion. In other words, we're not doing a little charade in which, okay, you don't have the TV, let's symbolize the TV with the handkerchief, and now I'll make a kinyan on the handkerchief. No, that's not the pshat, because if it were, we would need for an exchange of that type only works if it's a shavah prut, because it's dealing with value. The kli for chalipin does not have to be worth a shavah prut, and therefore it's not working in that sense. It's not the formalization of a normal sale. You can be kind of a kli, alpha b'shem prut. And it says, Nachman, yes, that's true, but I want to stress, of course we saw this before many times, I want to stress that's only if it's an implement. You can't take, I don't care if it's $1,000 worth of tomatoes, you can't use tomatoes for chalipin. Whereas Rav Sheshi says, what's the difference? A filu b'pirot. Now, my time in the Rav Nachman, Omar Kro, na'alo. Look, the Torah says a na'al. That's a very strange thing, isn't it? That's almost disgusting. Sometimes it's down and dirty, is what you're saying. So this is what we want. We want an exchange, not of produce. So in other words, we're talking about something that is an implement that you can use to implement. And that's what we're trying to do. So implementation is done with implements, not with fruits.
Really? Just Arabic, if you mention shoes to somebody, mm-hmm. You say, excuse me, it has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. There's a very mention of shoes to somebody.
Says. Correct, correct, correct. I mean, that's what it used to be. People take off their shoe before walking into the shul, you know, like they do before walking into a mosque. So, Rav Sheshes, on the other hand, my time of restrictions, he says, well, I mean, the pasuk says, the kayim kol davar. I mean, kol davar means, you know, anything. I read that, because you're not adding anything, so I read that to be mekayim with anything, big, as if it's a big kol davar. No, it's le kayim kol davar. You want to be mekayim something, use whatever. And whatever would certainly include tomatoes, right? That's true. So, and Reb Nachman Nani, haktiv le kayim kol davar. No. That means the kayim kol davar, all types of exchanges, whether they're geula type exchanges or tamura type exchanges, but with what? With the na'al. Shalafi shenalo. It's not changing the implement. And what about Rav Sheshes? How to explain the fact that it mentions a shoe? Why would it say a shoe of all crazy things? Omer Rav Sheshes, because a shoe is a discrete, identifiable implement. And therefore, whatever you're going to use, we already saw, you can't use it by bay, it's not discrete. You can't use a half of a tomato, because a half a tomato is not a thing. So it's not a davar mesuyam. That's the point. So I've called davar mesuyam. You can't use a chatzir rimon, a chatzir goes. That not. Om Rav Sheshes, Breda Ravidi. You know, you ever read the ketubah? You know what it says in the ketubah? V'mona dekosha l'miknaya bay hakol sharir v'kayam, right? V'kanina miyad so-and-so v'mona dekosha l'miknaya bay. What do those things mean? Sound very suspicious, very loaded with meaning. So whose shita do they represent? Because what we're talking about over there is what you just did with a handkerchief. Correct? Okay. So what is that? Kaman katvinan ha'idna. Nowadays, when we put into a contract, b'mona dekosha l'mikniya bay. Okay. B'mona means, not like Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says we can use tomatoes. And here it says, no, you have to use an implement. And then that's standard language in a contract, which means that we have standardized the halacha, not like Rav Sheshes. We don't say with a dover, we say with a mana. Okay, so then we're passing like Rav Nachman. So lafuki ben Rav Sheshes dover kodem beperot, that's what a mana means. Now when you say it's kosher means that it has to have some type of definition. And there are some things we will not accept, even though it is a mana. What would that be? That's to tell me that we do not passing like Shmuel. Shmuel says, the Omar konim b'maruka. You can go ahead and you can be kone even with a kli that is made out of dung. And the truth is, no. It has to be kosher because as a formalization, it needs to be what it is with a chashivut. That's how Rashi learns, Tosafot learns, maruka means the seeds of dates which are used for rubbing down parchment. Okay. But in other words, it needs to be, you don't need a shavar pruta, that's true. But it can't be insulted. It has to be something that is looked at as a serious thing. Okay. Then we say limikniape. That's major. Because there'd be two ways to write that. We could have written bimana de kosher lekanuyebe. Lekanuyebe would have meant for me to be makbid to somebody else. But since I wrote lemiknayabe, so now we're talking about my getting something from someone else. And that proves conclusively that it's lafuke mi the levi. Levi says it's the kalev of the seller. And over here we're saying, what type of mana? A mana that would be good for buying. A mana that would be good for buying means it's on the part of the buyer, not on the part of the seller. So that means that we're also formalizing our contract like Rav and not like Levi. Look at all of that. And you thought it was just, you know, some little cute formality. No, every word means something. So lafukim in a levi yomer bekelav shal makne kamash mel lemiknia v'lo lekanuye. That's the point. Look at your grammar. Kanuye. That's the point. Look at your grammar. Bay. What is the meaning of bay? That's the next question. We went through mana, right? Kosher, lemiknaya. What about bay? Bay means it and not something else. So it's an additional miut. So Rav Papa says, what's it coming to be mamayat? A coin. Which we already saw. Rav Zvid says, or subsequent as Rav Ashi, it's coming to be mamayat isurei hana'a. It doesn't need to be shava pruta, but it needs to be usable. Ikeni amri, others say, that bay, amr of Papa, lama'ute madbeya, and the kosher, amr of Zvid, vitema Rav Ashi, lama'ute isurei hana'a. So that we don't use the kosher to be mamayit morika, because morika is obvious. Lo itzur. I don't even need to put into this contract something so insulting as to say, and he didn't use dung. I mean, you know, obviously he didn't use dung. So that lo itzur. Okay, next thing that we had in the Mishnah is that an asimon is kone et hamadbea. What exactly is an asimon? My asimon. Omar Rav, it's a subway token. Ma'ot anitanot b'siman lebeit amerchatz. I'm going to go into the Schwitzer, which is a big subway system. You give a token. And that token is the asimon. Meitve. Ein mechalalin maaser sheni al asimon. Now look at this. You can't be mechalal maaser sheni on an asimon or or on a subway token. That makes pretty clear that an asimon is not a subway token. It's two separate things. So mechlad asimon lav ma'ot anitonot b'siman lebeit amerchatz. And don't try to tell me that the correct way to read this is to leave out the vav, is to put in a comma. Okay. So to read it, emechalim maaser sheni al asimon. That is al ma'ot anitonot b'siman lebeit amerchatz. No, I'll prove to you that that's not possible because there's a bright that describes that Mishnah more in detail. And Halotanach, in the Braita, makes it very clear that that's not an acceptable possibility. Because it says, Mechalalin Maaser Sheni Ala Simon, Divir Rebbe Deisa, V'chachamim Omrim Ein Mechalalin, but everybody agrees that you certainly can't use a subway token. So that makes it awfully clear that Asimon is not a subway token. Because there's a machlokas about whether you can use an Asimon, and there's no machlokas, you definitely cannot use a subway token. As a matter of fact, it's even questions of a bum will accept something talking for you instead of a cup of coffee. You know? I mean, people try it. It doesn't always go. So, the Shiloh over there is, it's got to be something else. Okay, so let's have an answer. Elam Rabbi Yochanan, you know what an asimon is? An asimon is a pulsa. An asimon is a piece of metal that can be put through a minting device, but it was never put through. So that it's basically something that is easily transformed into a coin, but it's not yet a coin. This is Rabbi Yochanan Lishitato. Yaz Rabbi Yochanan, Taim Ed Yom Rabbi Yochanan. You know, if you consider the underlying logic here, Rabbi Dosa and Rabbi Yishmael, Amrut Amarachat, basically Rabbi Dosa is in agreement with exactly with what Rabbi Yishmael said. Rabbi Dosa just said that Mechalalim Maaser Sheni Ala Simon, right? That's what he just said. So Rabbi Dosa de Amara, what's the Rabbi Yishmael I'm referring to? The Tanya, Vitzarta HaKesef Biyadecha, the rabot called the varhan itzrar biyad, the Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says, when it says, hold that money in your hand, what it's saying is anything that you can hold in your hand is money. So in other words, you can't use betaltalin, right? But you can be mechala your maaser sheni and a davar nitzrar biyad. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, that's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Vitsarta. Sarta. Sarta means tsura. Vitsarta, it's not a word we normally use for holding something. So vitsarta means only something sheshalav tsura. That machloket is the machloket that we have over here in Nas Simon as a pulsa. It was never stamped. So, therefore, it's basically a incipient coin. So it needs yet one more step to become a coin. And Mash'enkein, when it comes to a subway token, that is not an incipient coin. It's a particular device for a particular usage. And therefore, they're two different things. We're only arguing about whether you need a tsura, which is exactly the machlokas over here. The same machlokas Rabbi Dosa we have the Chachamim is the same machlokas that we have over here between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. So now the Mishnah continues and says, Ketza, Mashach min ha-parot, v'lo natan lo ma'ot, eino yochol lachzor. So now we get at last to the underlying discussion about why. And we know that there's two approaches to why. Either this was a takana drabana because of the fire in the warehouse problem, or this was the Iker Din Dioraita, which we mentioned, but we never learned it in the Gemara yet. And here it is in the Gemara, Omer Yovna, Devar Torah Ma'ot Kona. The truth is, what the Mishnah is saying is a violation of the way it would have been Alpi Torah. Mipnei Ma Amru Mishicha Kona. Why then did the Chachamim change everything around to make us focus not on the payment, but rather on the Mashiach? It's a dramatic, dramatic change from the way the Torah views the nature of Tehillah. Why would we do that? The point is, we're afraid that he's going to say, gee, you know, what a shame. I mean, what are we talking about over here? An insurance type of fraud? What do you mean, somebody, Zera Shema Yenemis, gee, I'm so sorry, but if that's the case, somebody's going to be paying. You're telling me somebody burned down the warehouse. So somebody's going to be paying. So who cares? I mean, so he'll get his money back. That's a very funny way to say that that's the Gezerah. So, mind the shot of Leica by Shulman. We're going to find the arsonist, so the insurance is going to pay. Or, I mean, why would we make Gezerah about that? However, he's protected, the other guy's protected. No, it was Gezerah. Sorry, I said that wrong. Gezerah Shema Tipol Deleika Ba'ones. I didn't mean to sound snide. It sounded snide. He's going to say, oh, gee, there was a fire. Yes. Like all the hotels in the Catskills. Oh, gee, there was a fire. What a terrible thing. So that's what it sounded like. I didn't mean that. I meant that we're afraid that what happened if a warehouse actually catches on fire. And if it catches on fire, if you say that it's still his, and obviously he is going to go to the ends of the earth to try to save his own merchandise and not take that loss. But, I mean, if he thinks it because he got money, and he may live in Arizona. This guy's got a warehouse in New York, and the guy in Arizona gets a letter saying, we're very sorry, but there was a fire. And what do I care? So none of the normal concern that an owner has would ever be activated over here. What I do is, as soon as I'm ready to ship something, I stick it in my shipping warehouse, and now I couldn't care less. That's terrible. So because of that, we make it yours until delivery, and then we'll make sure that the delivery happens. Otherwise, you'll be sitting and arguing with UPS for the rest of your life. Okay. So, Yilolo Masanavshi Tarkomatsi. Rish Lakish says, absolutely not. That's a complete misunderstanding. Actually, the Mishnah is describing it in Dioraita. Mashicha is Mefurash Minat Torah. It's clear from the Torah that it's all about Mashicha and not about the money. Because it says, Beferush, my time in Rish Lakish, Omar Kro, it says, Beferish. Vechitim kiru, mimkar la amitecha, or kano miyad amitecha. What does that mean to you? Take something from the hand, right? You're being kona something from the hand of the person who's selling it to you. Al tonu isha tachiv. There you go. So it's not dependent on money. It's dependent on taking it miyad amitecha. I understand. What were you arguing about?
So it can't be both according to Rashi.
No, it's saying it's all about miyad liyad. Dovra nikna miyad liyad. Says Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, miyad liyad doesn't mean how to do it. Miyad liyad is referring to what are you doing. This is a story of ona'a, correct? That's what it's about. Lo tonu isha tachiv. That's how the pasuk ends. Ki tibgru memkar la amitecha, kano miyad amitecha. No cheating. Al tonu isha tachiv. Fine. How about real estate? Well, the Pasuk is coming to say there's no Isser of Onah on real estate, and there's no Din of Onah on real estate. Real estate is speculative. Metaltel and chattel has a price. That's the point. So the Pasuk is telling you that by saying chattel, how do I say chattel? Miad liad, as opposed to real estate, which doesn't go into anybody's hand. That's what it means. So, I mean, what are you? You're being so literal, Reish Lakish, to take this as meaning I literally handed over miad liad. It's a definition of type, not of what I did. So the miad is lemeute karka de letbe ona'a. Says Reish Lakish, yeah, well, that's all very nice. Then it could have just said v'chitim kerum memkar miad amitecho al tonu. You're selling somebody a piece of metatalin, not real estate, don't cheat him. So why does that say okene? How about that part? They were talking about how to do a kinyan. Okano miad amitecho. And by the way, this is how to make a kinyan. Why say it that way, lomali? So shmami ala mishicha. Meanwhile, it's giving you the information. Okay, but how would that be done? It would be done through mishicha. So, yeah, that's a point. So what does Rabbi Yochanan do with that? With the okano miad amitecho? My Avidlay. He says, what, you think cheating is only in one direction? Only the sellers cheat. The buyers never cheat. Umi boile, the kiritanya. V'chitim kirum memkar. Al tonu yishatachiv. All right. So what does that mean? Ein li elashinita na lokeach. So I would have thought, the only time the Torah is answering this ona'a is where the buyer is being cheated. How about the other way around? Nitana mocher. How about if the seller is being cheated? How do we know that it's the same dinim of ona'a that apply in either direction? Minami. Talmud lomar, o keno miyad amitech, al tonu. So, do I understand what Rish Lakish is troubled by? The Torah had to say both. Kitim kor, o kana. So I have no problem with this pasuk. I don't know why Rish Lakish insists on saying the pasuk. It's describing an act rather than a type. And the din of Onah on the type. Very Rish Lakish. Says Rish Lakish, look, that may be so. I certainly agree that the pasuk is telling you that. But I still point out to you that it meanwhile says how to be kone miyad amitecha. It's telling you, and in a case where you did that kinyan, how? By taking it miyad amitecha, lo tonu. Is it saying that? I'm not saying that's the only purpose of the pasuk. I'm saying that the pasuk, while it's speaking, is giving you over information about how such events occur. So how does an event occur? It doesn't say when you give money to your friend. It says when you take something out of the hand of the person who's delivering it. So doesn't that say something to you, Rabbi Yochanan? I'm not saying it's extra. I'm just saying, to me, it reads clearly as kinyan. Of course, Rabbi Yochanan has his own pasuk, as we'll see, that describes the nature of ma'os b'davka. Now, let's look at our Mishnah and see how our Mishnah adds up Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan and Aliba de Reish Lakish. We know how to read the first part of the Mishnah. I mean, obviously, it makes sense according to either of them because the Mishnah is not addressing the reasons. The Mishnah is only addressing the din. We're both agreed that in the end, only Mashiach is kona. The only question is that the Arayta Darabbanan. But there is one place in the Mishnah where we can get some indication about whether Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish is right. And the way we can do that is by looking at the Machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. Let's take a closer look now at Rabbi Shimon at the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shakesev Biyado, Yado Al HaElyona. The only one who can change his mind is the seller who now has the money, and he also has the object. So he can change his mind. So Mocher Hudamatziyad Arbe, it's only the seller that could change his mind. The Lokeach cannot change his mind. Now, I say, we can infer from this, I know it doesn't sound to you like this has anything to do with the Machloket Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, but I say we can infer from this facts about Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Because look, Yamit Bishleima Ma'ot Konot. Let's take now the approach of Rabbi Yochanan. Really, in the Yoraita Ma'ot Konot, right? So now, Mishum Hachi, Mocher Matzi Hadarbe, I understand what Rabbi Shimon is saying. He's saying the seller can have charat. The lokeach who already gave his money cannot have charat because he already gave his money. That part works out. He gave his money, he can't have charat. Now, of course, we are concerned about nisrfu chitecha ba'aliyah, right? However, says Rabbi Shimon, no, wait a minute. Think about this for a minute. The seller can change his mind. Now, if a seller can change his mind and there's a fire in the warehouse, you know, a seller loves to keep his options open. So if he's got the stuff in the warehouse, he's thinking to himself, as every seller does, I got some jerk to be willing to pay me $100 for this TV. There's a sucker born every moment. That means I probably could have got some sucker to pay me $105. Why should I sell it to this guy for $100? Maybe I should sell it for $105. So now when a fire breaks out in the warehouse, he thinks to himself, well, I'm not going to let that TV burn. I make more money out of this TV. You know, so I changed my mind. You know, this is my TV, and I'm saving it for myself. I'm selling it to somebody else. So that's enough. Now, obviously, it would be far more effective if the buyer could also change his mind. Because then the seller is really nervous. What if the buyer hears about the fire and he says it changes his mind? Oh, my God. But am I going to change a diraita halakha where I already have mechanisms that are sufficiently in place to prevent a who cares about a fire? No. So since midiraita ma'ot akonot, I'm not going to change the whole rule and say that therefore the buyer can also change his mind. Why should I change the diraita? You're worried about nisfuchitecha. I'm going to handle nisfuchitecha by just letting the seller change his mind. And that still works out in the diraita, at least. I don't want to sell everything, change everything. Okay, so then that makes sense, all right? That would be Rabbi Yochanan's approach. So, lokech lo matzi adabeh. But if you say ma'ot enan konot, so then why in the world wouldn't Rabbi Shimon have said that the lokech can also have charata, which would have definitely given us much better insurance that he's going to protect against the fire in the warehouse? Says Rabbi Shlokesh, excuse me. I wasn't talking about Rabbi Shimon. Of course I understand that Rabbi Shimon holds that. I was talking according to the Rabbanan. I'm saying, if the Rabbanan were willing to say over here that the whole thing is, anybody can have charata. I was saying they are the ones that are saying that Mashiach is Kona. You're right. And Rabbi Shimon is the one who's saying, no, it's most that are Kona's Diraisa. That's how I understand the mission. As a matter of fact, that's how I understand the Machloket. So Bishon and Reish Lakish, we have a very clear basis for the Machloket between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. The machloket of Shimon and Rabbanan, according to Reish Lakish, is the machloket between him and Rabbi Yochanan. He says, look, the Rabbanan agree with me. Mashiacha is Kena, and since Mashiacha is Kena, it's exactly what you say. If you didn't take possession and you just paid, but you're right that you don't own it, so you changed your mind because there may be a fire in the Aliyah, right? Okay. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, no, you buyer cannot sell your mind. What does he hold? He holds that, well, the Torah says that if you paid your money, you're already in possession. So I'm not going to change that. Okay, yeah, great. So that makes sense now as the machloket. How's Rabbi Yochanan going to learn the machloket? Reish Lakish has got the machloket, but Rabbi Yochanan, what, Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree that the Rabbanan agree with Reish Lakish? Obviously not. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the Rabbanan hold that midiraita ma'ot akonot. And nonetheless, we're going to make a takana because of this v'chitecha ba'aliyah. We're nonetheless going to make a takana that the buyer can have charata. So what are they arguing about? What principle is Rabbi Shimon arguing about on the Rabbanan? I don't see any principle involved here. So El Rabbi Yochanan, everybody's in agreement that midiraita ma'ot akonot. So you can explain to me, what is the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan? Ikabinadur of Chista. It's basically the same. The question is Reb Chista's logic. I mean, Yom Reb Chista, Kedera Shita Tiknu Meshicha B'Mochrim, Kach Tiknu Meshicha B'Lekuchot. Reb Chista says, if we are concerned that we want a guy to be able to change his mind in order to think to himself, I might make more money, I better save this TV set. That's it. That's a takana, because midiraita, the money has already passed hands. What right does he have to change his mind? So why shouldn't we make that takana on both ends, since it will be much more effective if we were also mitakein the same takana for the lekuchot? So if we were vis-a-vis the seller, we said a seller until delivery could change his mind. So we could say the same thing that a buyer until delivery could change his mind. It puts far more pressure on the seller to protect the buyer. So why not? That's Reb Chista's logic. That it's the same takana. Kederach shetiknu mishicha b'mochrim, kach tiknu mishicha b'lekuchot. So Rabbi Shimon let later Rav Chisda. Rabbi Shimon says, well, no, there's a big difference, because the guy who paid his money is basically done with and done for, but that was his commitment, was paying the money. And therefore, I, the seller, I haven't done anything yet, you see. So I haven't done anything yet, so I can still change my mind, because I'm in possession of both things. Nothing's happened to me. Whereas Rav Chisda, he says, well, it's all about protecting the buyer. I don't believe that. I believe that the buyer is sufficiently protected by the potential additional profit that the seller can make. And the Rabbanan, he told Rav Chisda, what's the big deal about that? But it has to be such a fundamental machloket about whether Mashiach is koner or Maos HaKonot. Everybody agrees that when you write Maos HaKonot, when the Rabbanan, we make this takana, Mashiach is koner. That's all. Rabbi Shimon makes it only on a one-side takana. And Rav Chisda, the sheet of the Rabbanan, make it a two-sided takana. That's the machloket. That's a very interesting thing. I want to talk about the lightsabers, the laser. You notice that there's two places on the daf where we use the same word. Pulsa. The pulsa is an undefined, so to speak, unmodulated piece of metal. Pulsa, the neuron, is exactly the same thing, which means it's a laser beam. In other words, it's pure, it's one pure frequency. It's not being modulated by anything else. So it's a pulsa, the neuron. It's just a pure pulse of light. That doesn't have it exactly the same way that a pulsa would become a coin.
But how can you use
that pulsa now to carry information, but a pulsa in order itself doesn't carry any information.
How did that become a curse?
They take it as having a spiritual, obviously, because it's used. You know, it's used in the Gemara Chagiga against the Malach, Matat, you know. We hit him with pulsa in order when he misbehaves. We give you the curse.
That's what you're talking about here, about the value of the suitor.
Yeah, you're saying in a case of an exchange of a suitor for something else. Because that's really what a true chalipa would be. In which you actually exchange something for a suitor. That's how it works as a chalipa. There's a Kenyan suitor that just strengthens the fact that I will be buying this with a Kenyan. But what that is working as is, technically speaking, a chalipa. That's what he's suggesting. That
am I evaluating both chafetzim and the
chalipa? No, that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That in this case, the para is the suitor. The para is the suitor for the chamor. Right? That's what it is. There is no suitor. I mean, where's the sudar? I'm exchanging a para for chamor.
Right, that's what I understand.
The para becomes the sudar. We're abstracting the idea. So every chalipa is actually Kenyan Sudar. No men's out. Hey! Fox! Hopeless?
Well,
no men's club. He just wants to go to bed.
I know my wife, I don't have to watch the lights, but I think we'll go tomorrow. I can't imagine.
It's all over the place.
Yeah.
The timing is all over.
Yeah,
it's good. No, it's not like over the whole city. There's different installations done by different artists. No,
it's lovely that did something on Har HaZaitim.
Oh, I don't know.
Har HaZaitim?
They put lights up there.
There's tons of stuff.
Question is, is there anything interesting?
Huh?
Is there anything interesting?
I have no idea. You would like.
I haven't seen anything that's like interesting in the least. When I say, well, like, what's it all about?
I mean, I saw a lot of things being set up outside on the walls. And then in front of Shariafo, and they have all kinds of
beats cues. Me. Unless you like Christos, this kind of stuff.
No, not particularly.
Yes, I mean, that's the most that I see there. Amar Rabba, Amar Ravuna. Mochor li be'elu kana v'yesho alav hona'a. Kedei kana, afagav lo mashach, because given lo kapit, kana. Nonetheless, yesho alav hona'a, because he said, mochor li be'elu kana v'yesho. Rabbi Amar Ravuna says, yes, kana, but you can't go ahead and claim you don't like the price afterwards. Now look, Pshita, you're saying that damim ve'in makpid aleihem, you just said that that's okay, that's chalipin. How about the other way around? How about chalipin where you are makpid aleihem? Om Ravada Barava, well, I'll show you, tashmar, I'll show you, tofis parato ve'omid. Ubocha ve'rova maro, gee, Richie, you look rather confused standing here with your para in the middle of the street. Paratcha lama, ay, says Richie. Lechamor ani tzarich. Ah, really? I've got a Volvo. So, yesh lechamor. Shani natein lecha. Okay, so paratcha bekama, bekach bekach. Chamorcha bekama, bekach bekach. He doesn't have a chip that breaks down every Monday and Thursday, so it's worth more. So mashach ba'ala chamor at ha'para, v'lo yispik ba'ala para, l'kshach at ha'chamor, ad shemeit ha'chamor, lo kana ba'ala chamor at ha'para, shema min ha'chalipit ha'makpid aleyem, lo kana. Omar Rav, wait, you really think that chalipit is only meant for insane people? B'shuftani askin, lo kapte, kol chalipit afisis, make a kapte on the value, and anyway it's kind of. Zachma askinah. The Omar Le Chamor beparavet le. That's the point. The Mashakat aparav adayin lo Mashakat atle. What it's telling you is that since it's a real exchange, you didn't do a Meshicha ba'alya. Omar Mar, Mechorli be'elu kanav yeshu alav ona'a. How does that work if you had money in your hand? Lema somer avunet a matbea that you don't look at can be used as chalipin? No. Avunet savalak Reb Yochanan. And what we're doing over here is a simulation of chalipin. And the only idea is left it on the deraita, the ma'ot were konot, and therefore it's the other guy was konot automatically. You had to go through so much to get to this. Back there. How does it work, this chalipa jazz? Whereas Levi says, no, actually, it's the kelav shel makne. Come on, I don't want to tell you because I want to get to the lightsaber. Amar Ravuna midiskarta l'rava. No, Levi, the Omer, Bekelev Shemakdeh, isn't it Kekani Ara Agav Glima? In Kain Avelin Rechatsim Sheish Lemachrayut, Niknimim Rechatsim Shein Lemachrayut. And I thought it was just the opposite of the Mishnah. Rechatsim Shein Lemachrayut, Niknim, Im Rechatsim Sheish Lemachrayut. I'm like, boy, you're a lucky guy. Because Iavi Levi, Aki, Avi Mapik Lapcha, Pupusit Anura. Misavata Glima Maknele. It's Bahia, not the Kamikavami, Gomar Vaknele. Now, a geula refers to mechira, like it says, loy gayo b'ma aser b'ma. Tumura refers to chalipin, v'chein omer lo yachlifenem v'lo yamir oto. L'kayem kol davar shalaf ish na'alov v'natan l'reyeh. Mi natan l'mi? Boaz natan l'goel. So he was the kone. As Rabbi Yehuda says, like Levi, goel natan l'boaz. Natana. Yes. As long as it's a kli, I will be perilo. Reb Sheshet Amar Afilo be perilo. My time, Reb Nachman, I'm a kli na'alo, which means only an implement, like a na'al, midyach na'alo. And my time, Reb Sheshet, says the kayim kol davar. And Reb Nachman, I'm a kli le kayim kol davar. Well, all that says is le kayim kol davar, you can be gnikne be minal. That's just to tell me that it needs to fit certain standards. There are criteria. A nal is a davar mesuyam. I've called davar mesuyam. Lafuke chatsi rimon or chatsi goes the low. Omer Shesh brother of Edi. Come on, katvina idna. In every contract we write, b'mana de kosher mikniave. What does that mean? B'mana. That's the forgive of Shesh. That'll come in peirot. No, mana. The kosher is afikir b'shmuel. Shmuel says you could be koina even with a maruka. Lemiknia. That's afikir b'na Levi. Levi says you can use the kelev shel makne. Kamashma lemiknia be v'lo lekanuye be. Rav Papa Amar. Sorry, I did it again. V'lo lekanuye be. Rav Papa lemaute matbea. Rav Zvid v'tem Rav Asher lemaute yisuriyana. Actually, ikidi amre. Bay Amr of Papala Mute Madbeya the Kosher and the Kosher is the other way is Amr of Vitamute Asiriya. No. But Morika, according to this, did not need to be included under the Kosher because it's just too stupid. So that's how Rivers Vitamur Vashim stand. Ah Simon, Kunadabit Beya, Ma Simon. Omrav Baota Ditanot Bisiman Lebet Amerchat Mete. In Mechalin Maaser Sheni Al Asimon Ve'lo Al Mo'otan Yitonu B'Simon Le'Beit HaMerchatz. Obviously, then an Asimon is not the same as Mo'otan Yitonu B'Simon Le'Beit HaMerchatz. And don't try to tell me that Perushka Mefarish, because the bright Lotanach, it says, Mechalim Aser Shenei La Simon, Divrei Rabbi Dosa. Chachomim Omrim, Ein Mechalim. But they both agree that you can't be Mechalo on a subway token. Elam Rabbi Yochanan, Maya Simon, Pulsa. Vaz Rabbi Yochanan, Taim Medium Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Yishmael, Amrut Davar Echad. Rabbi Dosa, the Amoran, Rabbi Yishmael, Mahi, the Tanya. V'tzarta kesef biyadecha l'rabot kol davar hanitzrar biyad. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva omer, l'rabot kol davar sheyesh lav tzura. Keitzad. Mashach eminu perot v'lo natan lo ma'ot, in yochol lachzor bo. Om Rabbi Yochanan, actually, midyoraita ma'ot konot, mipnei ma'omer mishicha kona, gezer Hashem yomar lo dizifuchitech ba'aliyah. Sorry? So, Mandashat Leika is going to have to pay, no? I meant Gzera Shemati pulled Leika, meaning Ba'ones. So, therefore, Imukmet Le Bershute, I'm not saying he's going to burn it, I'm saying, Imukmet Le Bershute, Moser Nafshe, he's going to be Tarach Matzah. V'yilolo Moser Nafshe and Tarach Matzah, I never meant to imply he's going to burn it himself. Resh Lakish Omer Meshicha Mefureshet Min HaTorah. My time Resh Lakish Omer Krav Echitim Krum Memkar LaMitecha O Kano Miyad LaMitecha Tavar Nikit Miyad Liyad. Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, it is. But that's Lamute Karkat Let Be'ona Ah. Resh Lakish says, well, so then just write Echitim Krum Memkar Miyad LaMitecha Altonu. Why do you need this O Kano Miyad LaMitecha? Shema Amina, that's coming to teach me the Meshicha's Kone. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, O Kana Mayavid Le, Bibayla Giretanya, Vechitim Krum Mimkar Altonu, that means Emi Elishinitan Alokeach. But how about if the seller is the one who's being cheated, Minai? Talmud Lomar, O Kano Altonu. Resh Lakish, so Tarti Gomer Minai. Tanan Rabbi Shimon Avakosha Kesab Yodo, Yodo Ala Yona, which means that only the Mocher with the Matzi Ma'adarbe, Lokeach Lo Matzi Adarbe. Now, the Yomit Bishleim Ma'ot Kanoot. So then, like Rabbi Yochanan, Mishomachi, the Mocher is Matzikana, Be'elokeh lo Matzik Adarbe. But if you hold the Ma'ot Enon Kanoot, so then why can't the Lokeach also Lahadarbe? Om Lacharish Lakish, well, obviously, according to Rabbi Shimon, he holds what Rabbi Yochanan says. I mean, he holds, I'm not saying Loka, I mean, I was never saying Ma'ot Kanoot, that Mashiach could not leave it to Rabbi Shimon. I was saying it only to Rabbanan. So Bishlam and Rosh Lakish, that is exactly the machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabban. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no room for a machloket. My Ika ben Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan. My Ika ben Rabbi Chista. Don't Rabbi Chista. Look, it makes sense that Kederach Shetiknu Meshicha B'Mochrim to avoid Nisrufu Chitecha B'Aliyah, Kach Tiknu Meshicha B'Lekuchot. So Rabbi Shimon let later Rabbi Chista and Rabbanan eat Lod Rabbi Chista.